Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Barry Weiss, and this is Honestly. The past month's news has not exactly been relaxing to read. We have Iran shooting hundreds of rockets at Israel. We have Ukraine at war and Russia looking like it's winning. We have the prospect, some say, of World War III. Then there's Trump's ongoing criminal trial, a TikTok ban. And oh yeah, a lot of college students seem to be fans of Hamas. Do I need to go on? Today's episode isn't about any of that, because sometimes we just need a breath of fresh air. Enter the one and only David Sedaris, America's favorite humorist, or if not America's, certainly the favorite humorist of the free press. You may know David from one of his best-selling books like Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim, Me Talk Pretty One Day, and Calypso. His words frequent The New Yorker, and he's just come out with a children's book called Pretty Ugly, which he says has no message at all. David was on Honestly a few years ago, and if you haven't heard that interview, check it out. It was one of the highlights of what we've done on this show so far. Today, he's here to read an essay that he's written for the Free Press, where he imparts his thoughts on the underappreciated art of language learning and small talk. We'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Full? Drained? Maybe at half-life? It's easy to spread ourselves too thin, especially with spring right around the corner. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Do you thrive around lots of people, or do you think you need more alone time? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that works for you and that doesn't leave you drained. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/honestly today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/honestly. Listeners of Honestly have probably heard me talk about Sapir, a quarterly journal edited by my friend and former colleague Brett Stevens, and for good reason. Sapir is home to thoughtful, heterodox analysis on topics we care a lot about on this show: foreign policy, domestic policy, education, the Middle East, and much more. With Israel at war and rising anti-Semitism in the West, including at our most elite universities, Sapir is more important than ever. Its current issue, called Friends and Foes, takes a deep, hard look at the people and principles that we can count on to counteract dangerous cultural and political trends near and far, and those that we can't. I recommend Danielle Haas's article on the human rights establishment. Haas was a senior editor at Human Rights Watch for over a decade, and she offers an intimate, inside view of how human rights NGOs have lost their way and how far they have strayed from their founding missions. Check that essay out, along with the rest of Sapir's current Friends and Foes issue, at sapirjournal.org/honestly. That's sapirjournal.org/honestly. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? It has more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers. Spring has arrived, and Fast Growing Trees is here with fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more to liven up your house and yard. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online. Your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. So you can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. You'll find the perfect fit for your climate and space, all without having to hire a landscaper or to drive to nurseries in your area. Fast Growing Trees has plant experts to talk about your soil type, landscape design, plant care, and everything else you might need. And this spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online. up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code HONESTLY at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com when you use the code HONESTLY at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code HONESTLY. This offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Mother's Day with a toddler usually means a half-hearted attempt at a card and a tantrum at the farmer's market. But this year, we're going to do better. Or at least, we're going to treat ourselves to some Cozy Earth PJs. If you're a mother, you deserve quality sleep, and Cozy Earth can help you get it. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs. They use fabrics, materials, and weaves that offer superior softness, inviting you to sink into a world of comfort. Cozy Earth products are built to last through the hardest days and especially the long nights of motherhood. And in case you're not sold, Cozy Earth offers a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. I am not just reading an ad. I genuinely sleep in these pajamas. They're fabulous. So for an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners, use code BARRY, B-A-R-I, for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Prioritize you or your mother or your mother-in-law by heading over to CozyEarth.com and using promo code BARRY, my name, B-A-R-I, for 35% off. After placing your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hello, my name is David Sedaris, and I'm reading Small Talk, which I also wrote. The New York apartment building Hugh and I live in isn't terribly big. I wanted a nice view, so we're on a high floor, the drawback being that we need to rely on the elevator, not for going down so much, but only my friend Dawn would carry a load of groceries up 20 flights of stairs. The building has doormen, so between me and the street, there is definitely one, but more often two or three occasions for small talk. Nobody likes this kind of thing. That said, there's a definite art to it. Not long after we moved in, I was heading to the lobby, and a neighbor I would later get to know as Tommy boarded the elevator one floor below mine. He nodded at me, and as the doors closed, I raised a finger. "May I ask you a question?" "Not if it's about how much to tip the doorman at Christmas," he said. That was exactly what I wanted to know. "Quick," I thought. "Think of a replacement." "Can you recommend a cobbler?" I asked. Now it is 5 years later. I'm on my way to the lobby, and when a woman boards at 14, I ask, "How long have you known your dentist?" She thinks for a moment. 15 years, why?" "Just curious," I say. "I knew my old one for almost that long, but then we moved to New York and I had to start over." "And where did you move here from?" she asks. And then we're off, pleasantly conversing until we part ways on the ground floor. "How long have you known your dentist?" is such a good ice-breaking question. A real keeper, in my opinion. I didn't make it up. It's not mine. Rather, I found it on Duolingo, an app my friend Dave turned me on to. He'd been using it to learn Spanish. Me, I started with Japanese. It offers over 40 languages, free with ads and free of them for a pretty nominal charge. Each program features the same cast of animated characters: the excitable little boy, the bored teenage girl with hair covering her face. There's an athletic-looking blonde fellow. There's Vikram, who wears a turban, and Bia, who, according to her profile, is of West African heritage. 11 in all, including a talking bear named Falstaff. Sometimes Duolingo will give me a sentence in English. "How many desks are in the room?" And I have to translate it into Japanese, choosing from the menu of words written in hiragana at the bottom of the screen. Other times I have to read a sentence out loud, and the characters will either accept or reject me, based upon my pronunciation. My least favorite is when they give me the sentence and I have to write it in whichever language I'm studying. If you've only ever learned English, you maybe don't know that in other countries, "I gave her the suitcase" might go, "I gave to her the suitcase," or "I had to her the suitcase gave." You have to grasp a new word order. Then there's the spelling to worry about. My friend Mike is learning Yiddish with Duolingo, and one of the sentences it taught him is, "My uncle is a broken man." I used its French program to freshen up before a trip to Paris not long ago, and was both surprised and not by the question, "What is he doing in our bed?" I'm a dilettante and always have been. Rather than really buckling down and mastering anything, I flit from one language to the next. Thus, I noted how different Duolingo's Japanese was from Duolingo's German version. In the latter, the characters have definite opinions. "Your apartment is dark and ugly. I don't like your sweater." They give the impression that German people are direct and judgmental, but also outdoorsy, generous, and sure of themselves. Thus, such sentences as, "I'm sorry, but your doctor is playing volleyball today," "I am giving 100 toilets to my father," and "Spain needs us." There's a lot of talk about witches, but no mention of them dating one another. This as opposed to Duolingo's Japanese program, where seemingly everyone is gay. "Is that your grandmother's new girlfriend?" is one of the questions I was taught. Suddenly, the guy with the headband on had a husband as well as a son. Even the bear was dating another guy. I often complained about the last Japanese program I used, Pimsleur. So much of the talk was, as it is on their German and Polish and Romanian courses, about drinking. "Do you want a beer? Wine? Sake? Whiskey? How many bottles? Should we drink at your place or mine? What time should we start drinking? Do you know what Tanaka-san drinks? Does his wife drink too? Have you ever had drinks with his parents?" Pimsleur taught me a lot of practical things, though, like how to make reservations and buy train tickets. Which track do I leave on? At what time do we arrive? Is it an express train or a super express train? When it comes to icebreaker questions, though, the type one might ask in an elevator, both Pimsleur and Duolingo pale compared to Teach Yourself Japanese, a book a woman in England sent me a few pages of. It was what her dad used back in the 1950s, and it includes the phrases, "What will become of us if father dies?" "Grandmother has turned blind." "The man with small hands is my friend." "I no longer take any pleasure in my work." "Shall I kill myself tomorrow?" And, "It is only the third bottle from the left which has poison in it." What age, I wonder, are these students? If you no longer take pleasure in your work, I'm guessing you've been at it for a while, yet your grandmother is still alive and newly blind. And just how small are the friend's hands? I'm thinking of someone with the equivalent of raccoon paws, trying to open a bottle of pills he can kill himself with. Depressing phrases or practical ones, you'll never become fluent through an app or a book, no matter how many hours you devote to it. You have to talk to actual people. My friend Scott has tutors in both Japanese and French and is miles ahead of me in terms of conversing and understanding. He does his lessons once a week on Zoom. I suppose I could do the same, but I'm afraid I won't like the tutor and won't know how to put an end to our relationship. It's the same reason I don't see a psychiatrist or hire a trainer. Most of the doormen in my building are from Ecuador, and one, Adrian, has, at my request, started speaking to me exclusively in Spanish. I took it in high school, so we didn't have to start from scratch. The problem is that because he essentially works for me, he's not going to be as strict as, say, the French teacher I had in Paris. Not that I'm not progressing. Recently, I learned that Adrian calls his mother Gordita, which means little fatty. It's such a nice bit of information to start your day with, though it leaves me wondering and phrasing the question to myself in Japanese, French, German, and now tentatively in Spanish. What does he call me?
Thanks for listening. If you liked David's story, if it made you smile or lightened your day or made you laugh, good. That was the point of it. And if you prefer to read it, rather than listening, there's one way to do it. It's by going to the Free Press's website at thefp.com. If you like what you see, and if you believe what we do here on this show, we'd ask you to pay $8 a month and become a subscriber today. See you next time.